I'm Michael Klaas, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 53 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at the Bridge Bar in Beckenham. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Evening all.
Cookie is otherwise engaged, unfortunately. What have we got coming up on this week's show, Matt?
So we're going to review the recent games against Sutton and Woking and catch up with Neil Smith after that. We're going to have a look at the Academy Team of the Week, as well as previewing the visit of our high-flying visitors, along with ourselves, of course, Yeovil Town, and also reiterate our fans' question, which we're still awaiting some answers for, aren't we?
Fantastic. So, obviously, where better to start than a Saturday trip to Gander Green Lane, Matt? What to say? I never really enjoy going there, if I'm honest.
No, it's not the... With all due respect, it's not the nicest place to go. It's just very uninspiring and just a bit dull, really, I think, to be honest. But 289 fans, well, minimum, let's say.
Fantastic.
There were more in the stand as well, which I don't know whether they got counted.
I saw some comments and stuff about social media stuff about fans. You're like, we actually helped them get over 1,500 for a local derby game on a Saturday, you know, so... I think it shows you where we are.
Compared to them,
absolutely.
Definitely. And getting on to the football, obviously injuries hadn't helped our cause whatsoever. We're missing Sam Wood and Rico Hackett-Fairchild, amongst others. And you looked at that bench, Jeff, and I think the main concern for you and I before the start of the game was, if we are in a losing position, what do we do with this bench? And apart from, obviously, Frankie Raymond, an established first-team player, but he's not an attacking-minded player, is he? So by all means, you've got a lead, which we did end up having. You bring him on, he steadies the ship. Fantastic. However, if you're in that losing position, we thought, we really are down to the bare bones on that bench. But
no, 100%. And I think, like you say, it's one of those games where we had to get the lead. We had to take the lead first. It was one of those games where we're going to have to try and control this, or at least set our stall early on. Because, like you say, Matt, there wasn't really too many options in regards to changing it and what we're going to do. However, as the game panned out, it wasn't really a problem, Matt. We were privileged enough to be on commentary duty, and there was plenty of you listening, which we're very grateful for. But for those of you who weren't tuned in, here's a very brief summary of the action.
It looks like it is going to be Chris Bush to take it. Nobody else is standing around it. Bingham's there if he wants to set it off to him. But it would appear Bush is going to go for glory here.
Here we go. Left foot has fallen a wall. Everyone's on the edge of the box. It's going to be Bush left-footed.
Strikes it. It's a good strike. Saved by the keeper.
Rebound, no.
Oh!
Yes!
Ben Williamson on his debut puts Bromley into the lead in the 14th minute here at Gander Green Lane.
Absolutely fantastic.
And that, Jeff, is what we signed him to do. To really? Be there. To be that fox in the box.
Absolutely fantastic. So it was a powerful free kick. The keeper's parried it once. He said they've come in. The rebound's come in. Was it Necky?
Great save. No, I think Kizzy. It was Kizzy. Yeah.
Kizzy rebound was saved, but on the third attempt, it was Ben Williamson, new signing, who gives Bromley the lead. Get in there, Matt. Get in.
Fantastic start for him. It's taken him 14 minutes to get his first goal for Bromley.
Dawn D, how many fans have you taken, Matt?
289.
Absolutely fantastic effort from the Bromley faithful to the right of us.
Raymond with the knee away. And
he's going to fall through. It's a cheat now. It's one and one. Keeper's come out. Yes!
Come on!
Michael Cheek with the second goal for Bromley. What a fantastic finish from him. It was a mistake from Jamie Collins, presented him with the opportunity on a plate, and Michael Cheek takes full advantage. His first goal since the FA Cup match against Aldershot, Jeff. And that is 2-0 Bromley.
Brilliant. It's Sutton United 0, Bromley 2.
both the front men scoring, Matt. We'll take that.
Absolutely brilliant.
As the stand starts to
just after I'd said as well that Cheek was having a quiet game, and he pops up, capitalising on a really poor error.
Absolutely fantastic.
From Jamie Collins there, inexplicable.
He was being chased down by the defender, and the goalkeeper come out, and you thought, here we go, but complete calm and composure compared to us, and he's a lot of hit under the goalkeeper. And with 79 minutes on the clock, it's Sutton United 0, Bromley 2.
We've just got to hold on now, Jeff, still 10 minutes plus additional time left.
And hold out we did, Matt.
Yeah, we did. I mean, in the end, it wasn't an awful lot that they threw at us after that goal. I think their heads dropped quite a lot, to be honest with you, and they didn't really offer anything going forward.
I mean, look, to recap, obviously, two fantastic. A for Ben Williamson, new striker, first game, trained with the team, what, one?
Two training sessions.
You know, to rock up with his, I was going to say first competitive goal for the club. Obviously, talk about pre-season and stuff, but his first goal for the club, and then... second half, it's not very often we're gifted a goal, Matt.
No.
I hate to say it, unfortunately, usually it's the other way around.
Yeah,
teams score soft goals against us. But
as we'll touch on later, won't we? But this time it was actually, we were gifted a goal. Jamie Collins with a, I don't know what he was doing, he sort of trod on the ball. And
could have happened to a nice player, to be honest.
No. Arrogance in the tunnel before was, anyway. Cheek obviously took full advantage of it, running through on goal. And you know,
I had absolutely no doubts.
But he makes it look easy.
The moment he was running through, just had absolutely no doubts. But we were talking about the game. How often would he have found himself in that position in previous games when we didn't have the natural number 10, or the more natural number 10, sorry.
And then you look back at the first goal, you've got that fox in the box who's just there to follow up. And, you know, obviously the initial free kick from Bush was saved. Kizzy's effort was saved, the rebound. And then third time lucky, you've got that fox in the box, in the six-yard box, his position, right place, right time. And all he's got to do is smash it home. And he did that. And that's what we've been missing.
It was absolutely fantastic. With the team we had out, and like you say, you talk about the players that were missing. I mean, I remember watching the subs bench before the game, and the subs bench was full while the rest of the team were out there training. There was that many injured players. You know, Sam Wood, I think, was on crutches. There was that many injured players out there. And you just thought, you know, if you could get out of here, get all 3 points and get out of here alive, happy days. And that's what we did. I mean, Frankie Raymond got a yellow card, didn't he? I think we might have had a sweepstake on it at the time, but Frankie Raymond picked up a yellow card. It was a fantastic challenge.
It was. I mean, you look at that performance, I think we got five yellow cards in that game, and you look at least three of them were not yellow cards. Romani's as well, not a yellow card. Really, really...
He started to lose it late on, the ref, didn't he, in terms of actually what he was giving and what he wasn't. It was a very much a free-for-all by the end. But
it was,
most important things was the 3 points, Matt.
Absolutely.
And we managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Back to winning ways, Neil. A 2-0 away win in a local derby against Sutton. Your thoughts?
Brilliant. You know, it's always a difficult place to come. You know, they had a great result on Saturday against Torquay. So we weren't expecting anything but a difficult game, and I thought they were very good at what they do. You know, and I thought our boys stayed together. After the result on Tuesday as well, we obviously had a game, or they had a rest period. The boys, like you said, you know, we were thin in numbers today. They were outstanding, and I thought we deserved the win.
Under the cosh a bit, especially in the early stages of the second half, really just showed the defensive side of the game and how much it's improved this
season. Yeah, you know, we are. You know, Romani's had to come in for Woody. I thought he was outstanding going in at left back. I thought Ryan, you know, came out and took a couple of great crosses, made a great save as well that could have, you know, counted for an equaliser. But I thought, you know, and then when we got the chance, Cheeky takes it. When we got the chance, Willow takes it, and it was a great debut for him.
Yeah, fantastic debut goal. He's had two training sessions, and I think we said it off camera, that's what we've been missing this season, and now Williamson's come in, hopefully, to fill that void.
Listen, I've known Willow for the last few years, and we've been trying to do something. He's been outstanding for Eastleigh. Situation come up where we could get him. I was never going to knock that back, and I think it gives me that experience. Gives me some support for Cheeky. I thought the pair of them played really well together, considering we've had one training session really together. And then just in behind them, as I say, you know, we lose Frankie because he was a little bit sore, but Josh Reese come in with Billy Bingham, were brilliant. So every time I've asked for someone to do a job, they come in and do it. There's no moaning, there's groaning. They just want to play for this club.
And in the past two games, or after the past two games, you've spoken of your frustration in terms of gifting goals. Today we were gifted one, and Cheek fully took the opportunity.
Yeah, I've always said it, you know, we have to work hard for our goals. You know, even first goal, you know, it was a great free kick, they saved it, then Willow's there to put it in, and then on the cheap one, you know, he's in in the right place. He's not closing the defender down. Someone else has. They put him through, and he can, when he's through, you know it's a goal as soon as he's through one on one. And it was just trying to find someone who can give him that little bit of freedom and a little bit of space in the 18-yard box. But as I said, to come away up to a Sutton side, who were very strong, very good. You know, they should be where they are. They were a good side. No doubt they move up the table, but that's a fantastic result for us.
And just shy of 300 fans coming to back the boys today. It was phenomenal support, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, after Tuesday, you're hoping that people don't, you know, sort of think that's it. It's over with. The cup run is our season. It isn't. The league is our season. And to bring 300 supporters down, I know it's not a long way to go, but they've still given us their time and their effort to get here on a miserable day. And hopefully they go home really chuffed that the boys have put in a shift and gotten 3 points.
The run of games carries on away to Woking up next on Tuesday.
Yeah, don't know how they've got on, but I know Douse, and Douse wants to win every game. He's a you know, he's a character that gives nothing but 100%, so I know his players won't. So it's going to be another difficult game. We'll see how the players are fitness-wise on Monday, and hopefully we can, you know, get another result down there. But we know it's going to be another difficult game.
A difficult game it proved to be, Matt. Not much of a break after the Sutton game. Like I said, the boys were in on Monday, and then we were straight off to Woking on the Tuesday night, Matt. It was always going to be a tough test. We enjoyed our 3 points over them earlier on in the season when they came to us. Top of the table clash at the time, Matt.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. And you look at historically us going to Kingfield, and it's not been a place where we've had many positive results. The last time we went there, season before last, because obviously they were down last year, we won 2-0. And I think that was the only time I've seen us win there against Woking. We beat Hayes and Yedding there. But yeah, it wasn't our best performance. Unfortunately, we didn't carry the momentum on from Sutton. And despite a really good start, actually, a great goal from Luke Coulson.
However, that, you know, we started the game as bright as a home side. Yeah. You know, and we were there, we were present. We, like I said, Luke Coulson, goal out of nothing, really. You know,
it was, yeah, wasn't it?
It was for, you know, he did incredibly well then. As I cut inside, got his right foot shot away. And you know what? It's a shame we couldn't catch up with Luke, because I'm not even sure he. Maybe he did think he was like. But
yeah,
it's really
strange.
It always went in sort of slow. It's all went,
yeah.
It felt like the keeper got there, but sort of left it, but it ended up in the back of the end.
Yeah,
local players by us, we were absolutely buzzing in the press box.
No, of course we were. But yeah,
What a perfect start, really. And we needed something like that, didn't we? Knowing
we
the
did.
Team we had, again, looking on the bench, Matt.
Same bench.
You know, from the Sutton game, and Frankie being your only. Well, sorry, what as a fan, what you consider your only okay.
Established National League footballer.
National League player is going to come on the bench and come off the bench and do a job there. However, we've got the goal. You know, also you've got something to hold on to, haven't you? And you know what, Matt? With 10 minutes to go to the end of half time, you're thinking, okay, let's take this in, and we'll see what we can do second half. Unfortunately, Matt, we didn't quite get there.
No, I mean, we had a couple of good chances prior to that as well. Ben Williamson with a shot that was saved, and they had one or two chances as well. It was a reasonably even game. And like you say, the goal came sort of out of nothing, really. Luke Coulson just hitting hope, and it was an absolutely phenomenal strike from him to beat Craig Ross at the near post.
Oh, hitting hope? Have you actually asked him yet whether he thought he was going in?
Well, no, maybe that's for next week.
You've done him an injustice.
Maybe that's for next week's podcast. But unfortunately, it was, I hate to say it, another defensive error, another gift of a goal, the third time we've done it in four games, unfortunately, for the equaliser. And you know, Neil, obviously we'll go on to in a minute, Neil vented his frustration at that in his post-match interview, but you can't be making errors like that and be top of the table. You know, you can't do that on a regular basis and be up there. And it's just frustrating, because we didn't deserve to be level at half time. We should have been 1-0 up, and I think, Jeff, if we go in at 1-0 up, we win that game.
I completely agree, Matt, and unfortunately it wasn't the case, though, was it, second half?
No, unfortunately not. Again, it wasn't really, one side was completely dominating the second half.
I remember on commentary, we were talking, you know, we were going, there's another goal. There's definitely another goal.
We
didn't know whether it was us or them, to be honest, but you knew there was definitely going to be a goal. And to be fair, there's probably only going to be one more goal that was going to decide the game. It's just one of those evenings, you know.
If anything, we had the better chances in the second half. Michael Cheek with a shot on the turn that went inches wide, and then Josh Rees forcing a good save from Craig Ross at the near post.
Did fantastically well there. I thought he was going to sneak it in under the keeper.
And really, Ryan Haddock didn't have a save to make in the second half, as well as, you know, Woking attack with pace and precision. When it got into the box, that, you know, a couple of shots blocked, I think, but no real test for the goalkeeper. So it was disappointing, especially given that the goal was on the counter attack. And
well, yeah, I mean, to recap, was it a free kick? It was into the box. Tried to head it across.
The comment Neil made was the free kick was taken too quickly. We hadn't set ourselves up in the box. The free kick was taken too quickly. All Kizzy could do was head it across the face of goal. The keepers picked it up, booted it downfield to the right wing. Kizzy's out of position. The right winger, Jamal Oza, bags of pace. He's taken on Billy Bingham and cut inside the box, got the cross in, and Jake Hyde scored, I think, his 12th goal of the season, who's a man in form. So it was, they took the chance they had.
I was absolutely fuming. I mean, Woking, to be fair, the kit man, everything, they're lovely people when we get there, really look after you well and everything like that. But the press box there is
a weird
absolutely
atmosphere.
Absolutely hate it. BBC, I mean, we've gone about BBC bias and forget politicians, for example, but the fact BBC London, BBC Kent, no one picks and chooses us until we do well in the FA Cup, etc. Go over to Woking and you've got BBC Surrey and you've got two gentlemen who are just
one of them is wearing a Woking jacket.
Just an outright Woking fan. And oh, honestly, I know we go back and forth on commentary, right? And it really annoying me. But it, honestly, when they scored the second goal, he stood up and turned around and faced me as he was commentating.
Yeah.
I was honestly, I didn't jump over the press, but I was absolutely fuming.
Holding your
and
back,
then the kids on the right hand side, they were doing a Woking Twitter, the little one. Oh,
past his bedtime,
absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely. Oh, God.
No,
it was brutal. It just added to the whole.
Yeah, it did. I mean, listen, an away National League press box is not the place to be, you know, when you're losing a game, to be honest with you.
No,
you are just surrounded by home fans, and even Bristol Rovers, you know, we were surrounded by their fans, their press. It was just me, Paddy, and one of the Bromley reporters.
We had almost 200 people listening on the evening over on
the
commentary.
Yeah, it
was
great, wasn't
it? You appreciated. And a shout out to the Bromley fans who made it, by the way. 71 was announced, but I counted 101.
Yeah.
Three times over 100 on that far side Bromley support. So a fantastic effort from everyone involved. And you know what, Matt, the whole evening, especially that second half, it just felt like one game too many.
Yeah,
I think
so.
The whole period of, you know, of late and everything like that. And what
remember, it's
halfway
a marathon.
Mark of the season.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
100%. But we managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game, and Matt referred to it briefly, but here's what he had to say in full.
Neil, having gone 1-0 up, a disappointing result tonight.
Very. You know, when we did get the goal, I thought that was a catalyst for us to get going. I thought the first half, we did okay. And then, you know, sloppy in giving them the equaliser. And then the winner again, we said to them that, you know, when we were in training yesterday, they hit teams on the break, obviously with Loza and Tarpey and Hyde up front, and they've scored from one of us in possession. We've just crossed the ball, the keeper gets it, big kick down on the left hand side. So it was everything we knew they'd do, but we just didn't take it on today. You know, when you get the goal, I think they honestly thought they'd won the game. And there's, you know, I know a Dow side, I know a Woking side aren't going to give up. And the boys that they've got in that setup, and I just thought we took our foot off the gas towards the end of the first half. We go in at 1-0 down, 1-0 up. You know, I think it's a totally different game, but they obviously got the goal there on the up, and then it was just a scrappy game like Saturday, but we didn't have the little bit of quality at the end of it.
Extremely frustrated to concede a sloppy goal.
Yeah,
just before half time, which would have given them momentum.
Absolutely.
Well.
You know, that's what I've said. You know, when you go a goal up and it isn't going great, you just got to keep clearing your lines, get a clean sheet, and we've won the game. You know, that's what we did so well on Saturday. And then you get that opportunity. We're under the cosh like you would be away from home. Didn't expect anything different from a team that are in the playoffs. But it's one of them where, you know, when we got the opportunities and we didn't get many, we didn't take them, and then they get their opportunity in the box. And, you know, he's one of the top goal scorers for a reason, because he hunts around that box, and we just didn't do well enough against him.
An ever-mounting injury list, not helping the cause either.
Yeah, no, I had, you know, I've said, you know, my squad is thin at the moment. Obviously, Jack playing through with a cut head. You know, there's players that, you know, Mekki got smashed on the sideline. You know, there was a few tough tackles out there, and our boys seem to come second best on them. But we'll be all right. We'll you know, I've just had a chat with them. I am disappointed, very disappointed. But like I said, we had a target to hit on 24 games, and we're still on course to hit that target. And at the beginning of the season, if I'd have said that where we are after being halfway through the season, I'd have jumped at it. So it's a bad night. We've got
you know, look at ourselves and be better than that. But overall, where we are halfway through the season, I'm delighted.
It is a slight knockback tonight, but we turn our attention straight to the visit of another high-flying side, Yeovil, on Saturday.
Yeah, and if we play like that tonight, we won't get a result, you know, and that's what I've said to the boys. Yeovil are a very good side. Obviously, we know what they did, you know. We lost their keeper that game. We lost Mark Anthony after that game as well. So, you know, we want to make sure that we don't lose again to them. But need the supporters behind us. You know, they've been fantastic and support us. It is a disappointment tonight, but we can make it up on Saturday.
Neil, thank you.
And obviously, we're all looking forward to Saturday and obviously the visit of Yeovil Town. We'll come on to that slightly later, Matt. First of all, we're going to move away from First Team Affairs and we're going to talk about the Academy, Matt.
Yes, there's been a little bit of controversy this week because there's two bosses of the week. They just couldn't make a decision in this week's Academy Team of the Week. Two bosses of the week. Can you believe it?
No, not really. I mean, how can you have two bosses of the week?
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy. I'm going to be having words with Ammo about that.
Put all that together.
Ammo, I think.
Well, it's Premier League. Don't do two players in a month, do they?
No, it's true. Very true. Max Smith and Neil Salmon. So they obviously couldn't decide between the two of them.
Are they joint managers?
I don't think so.
That makes it worse.
Player of the week is Akeem Steele, so congratulations to him.
I'm not taking anything away from the achievement. I mean, congratulations to both individuals involved.
Okay, so the team of the week, Caitlin in goal, defence.
They share a trophy.
Harry, Alessio and Connor. Midfield, Ramon, John, Jay, Shamoy and Ben. And up front, Chris and Alaya. So well done to all of those. It's great to see our academy teams in action.
Oh, fantastic. Sort of, congratulations.
On the pitch during the day. It's fantastic.
They're all on the social media, Matt, on Instagram, I think, and Twitter, the teams of the week. John James does a good job putting together the graphic for all the players. And I know it's something they look out for every Thursday when it comes out. And it's great to see that regularly updated. Matt, community scheme?
Yes, yeah, lots going on. So, first of all, we've seen some festive photos from the Bromley Bells,
No, it's not, is it?
It's not quite.
Not really. It's November, let's be honest.
You know, we're near the end of November now, so I suppose maybe it's acceptable.
So it's only the Bromley Bells, to be fair, that have started off the festive cheer early.
It is.
Is that because they're having December off?
Can't say I'm surprised. Yeah, they are clocking off early. so, fair play to them. Andrea does a great job organising everything, and Kaio, a fantastic coach as well, great to have on board. And it's a pleasure, really, to support and help grow this scheme, which has given women over 30 the opportunity to play football on a recreational basis. And whether they want to play competitively or not,
they
some do,
look
some
like
don't.
They have great fun.
They do. They really do.
You see, it's fantastic to see.
They really do. And they're here every Wednesday night, 9 till 10. So if you want to join, just pop on down. Obviously not next month because they're clocking off early. Not that I'm going on about it much.
They're back on January 8th, I think.
Okay, yeah, so if you want to come on down and be part of it, just come and watch, see what it's about. Andrea is the person to talk to. They're at Bromley Bells FC on Twitter, and I'm sure they'll be more than welcoming of you. The numbers just seem to be very, very consistent and growing each term, which is great to see.
Absolutely brilliant. Something that's not clocking off early is obviously the Saturday morning soccer school, Matt. That's carrying on all the way through, really. And we're also talking about a little Christmas soccer camp, a little New Year soccer camp.
It is, yeah. So the final date before Christmas for soccer school on a Saturday is the 21st. That's our game against Eastleigh. We then have a week off and return in January. So, it's great that we've now obviously started running the soccer school through all of the holidays other than Christmas, and it's been a really, really good move because we've had some great numbers. The kids are happy, the parents are happy that the football's carrying on, so it's a win-win really for everybody.
And obviously on that front, with regards to Christmas, I mean, the schools break up sort of the 16th and 19th, etc. What are we thinking?
Well, it varies, to be honest. A lot of schools break up in that final week at the end of the week, but there's also a couple that break up in the middle of the week as well. So we are looking to launch a Christmas/New Year soccer school. We're just looking into dates at the minute. If you're part of our community mailing list, you will have had an email from me earlier this week asking for some feedback. Thank you to all the parents and carers, etc., that have replied to me. I've been bombarded with emails and people saying yes, we want this to happen. So we will be doing a Christmas soccer school at some point. It's going to be 9 till 3. We just need to confirm the dates, which we'll be doing in the next couple of days. So Monday, Tuesday, we'll obviously be releasing information on that. It should be really, really good. It's something we've not been able to do for the past few years because the dates around Christmas just haven't really been kind, and terms have finished and started at awkward times for us. So we will hopefully be able to put that into place for you guys next week. So if you've got a child age 4 to 13, get them involved.
Definitely, yeah. Drop matt@bromleyfc.co.uk an email address to give us some feedback on those dates and when you'd like us to run them. I know you've had a lot of feedback already, and we're definitely looking, like you say, to do something on that 23rd and hopefully something before New Year's as well, which would be fantastic. Right, next on the list is the toilet block in the corner of the ground, Matt.
Well, it's a bit of an emotional one, isn't it? I think since it's gone, it's seen more love from people than it's 20 years or whatever it was being here in
so
the first
place.
So for
those who don't know what we're referring to, we're obviously referring to the...
LTOP.
That's what it's been nicknamed social media. And it is, of course, our toilet block in the far left-hand corner of the ground. What? It's coming through the turnstile.
Our old toilet block now.
And it's quite funny because I think Cookie did some sort of video of it being craned up and stuff, but I put a few photos up. And to be honest, my social media tends to be pretty boring anyway, but it's actually one of the most engaged tweets I think I've ever put up.
Says a lot.
Amount of people who are replying, could we send them over to Sutton to help them out?
Someone fitted a Photoshop of that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, no, they did. That cardboard floor always seems a bit of a design error. used to get seasick in there. # sloping bog. This is too much. Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
People are mourning the loss of this toilet block. It's unbelievable.
We will miss the old block. We, that's it. Yeah.
Very funny. Very
little
funny.
GIF. Oh, yeah, a little GIF for them. Someone's done that. Oh, I know who that is. Brilliant. He's photoshopped the toilet block outside Saturn's turnstiles. Absolutely brilliant. For those of you wondering what has replaced it, it's a toilet block, Matt.
Another toilet block, yes.
In slightly better condition than the previous ones.
Luxury.
I've got to read this one out. I've spent so many happy couple of minutes in there, wedged in next to my fellow fans while hoping the floor wouldn't give way. If only I'd known Bristol Rose would be my final visit.
Oh, how emotional.
Absolutely brilliant. Some of them are a bit X-rated. What a shame. One of those windows was perfect for still keeping an eye on the game. Because they were right above the U.
Blimey.
Absolutely brilliant. But yes, sorry. So for those of you aware, the toilet block's been replaced. It's another part of the improvements, necessary ground improvements, as we all know. And I'm not joking when I say next week we have a strategic meeting regarding toilet facilities. No doubt further facilities to come in the near future.
Can I just say that as well, one of the replies to that tweet that tickled me was Eddie McIntosh is no stranger to a bit of Bromley memorabilia in his back garden. He's got a family enclosure sign. He's got one of the old rails and someone photoshopped the old toilet block in his garden, which was absolutely fantastic, I thought. So, credit to whoever's done that. That did make me laugh. But, an emotional farewell it was.
Absolutely brilliant. We're going to touch on season tickets. Half-season tickets, as it were. We talk about the best Christmas present. We talk about Black Friday and all of that. Look, we're great value for money anyway. We don't need to put a sale on. However, we are offering half-season tickets the remainder of the season, starting from our home game on the 28th of December.
Yes.
Matt, you've got the details?
I do indeed. So the first game that it will include is the 28th against Dagenham Redbridge, as you allude to, Jeff. And that carries you right through to Saturday, the 18th of April, where we host Hartlepool United in what will be our final home league game of the season. Price-wise, we're looking at £100 for adults, which works out at £10 a game. Over 65s is £65.650 a game. Under 16s and students 16 to 21 is £35, which is £3.50 a game. To purchase one, you can call us on 0208 460 5291 between 9 and 5 on weekdays. You can visit the club office or you can go on our website, click on the article and then submit a form and we will give you a call back or an email.
Yeah, alternatively, Bob Barlow's in the office on match days tomorrow. We'll all be in the office. I'm sure we'll be happy to help. We'll process your form then and we'll have the season ticket card ready for your next fixture. As ever, look, record numbers this season, fantastic take-up. And we've already seen a fantastic response to the half-season ticket. So for those that have made the first half of this season already, you know it's not going to be a second half to miss. And it'll be great to see everyone show their commitment for that second half of the season, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've already had a really good response to it. I think we put it up a couple of days ago. We've sold a few already, which is really, really great. And there was interest from people prior to that, which sort of,
They're still being offering a reserved seat in the stand as well.
Yes, that's right. So we're doing that at £30 now. Obviously, we were charging £60 at the start of the season to reserve seats. And these seats are reserved for every single fixture, whether it's cup, league, trophy, Kent Senior Cup, whatever, your seat is your seat. But obviously the season ticket itself is only valid for league games, just to clarify that, as we've had a few questions from people on that one.
Moving on, sorry, back to First Team Affairs briefly. We, Spencer Cripps, Matt.
Yes, so Spencer Cripps has today joined Chipstead on loan. So good luck to Spencer. A very bright prospect, obviously caught the eye of Neil playing in the under-23s and the academy over the past couple of years, and has been a regular for the under-23s this season. Danny Mills highly rates him as well, and was given the squad number 21 earlier this season. So good luck to him. It's important for him to continue his development and get some first-team football, which is obviously what he's going to be getting there. Good luck to him.
Fantastic. Saturday, Matt. Moving on to Saturday. Visit of our good friend. We have the visit of Yeovil Town.
We do have the visit of Yeovil Town.
If I recall, it was quite a lively affair down there.
Oh, that's one way of saying it. I mean, you look back on it, it's one of the most bizarre games that I've ever witnessed, Jeff. I don't know about you, but, you know, to lose your goalkeeper...
Well, those bizarre places.
Under such... frightening circumstances.
It was frightening, I remember, yeah.
In the first minute of the game, and for him to be down for 20 plus minutes, us not knowing what was going on, and then to have a centre back in goal for the rest of the game, you know, you're going to struggle really. And despite going 1-0 up,
we took the lead.
We did. Yeah. And then unfortunately, things just didn't go to plan after that. Obviously, not having a goalkeeper in goal didn't help. Chris Bush did his best and was a great kicker of the ball. I think they were expecting his kicking to be poor.
Yeah, it was quite funny because they were all pushed right up the halfway line, weren't they?
How wrong were they? He was a great kicker of the ball. Unfortunately, wasn't able to stop any of the goals that went in. Obviously, an own goal didn't help our cause in that. But that was our first league defeat of the season.
We got ball boys on Saturday.
that was our first league defeat of the season, and since then, you know, form has obviously dropped a little bit, and you know we've had
the distractions, haven't we? Look, we've had some fantastic distractions of Bristol Rovers in the FA Cup. Everything obviously came with that, and look, we're going to go into Saturday. Our average crowd now over almost 2,200, Matt.
I mean, yes,
when you put those two FA Cup fixtures in as well, which is absolutely fantastic. We really want to keep that going on Saturday. We've had a fantastic response of online ticket sales already. Yeovil sales themselves, actually.
Yeah, should be a good
crowd.
We're
expecting around 200 to 300 of them, which I'm sure will add to what's going to be promises to be a fantastic atmosphere on Saturday. Matt, tickets?
Yes, you can get your tickets until 1 o'clock tomorrow online. Tomorrow is Saturday, by the way. So go onto our website, bromleyfc.co.uk. It's the first article. Please make sure you click on the right set of fans that you are ordering for, as we get quite a lot of people who order away tickets accidentally.
I don't know how else to make that any more clearer. If you do have any suggestions, please advise, because it's a genuine question. We do tend to get a lot of home fans that have bought away fans tickets, and then we have to exchange them and swap them out with everything like that. So if it's something that we need to be doing clearer our end on the website, etc., please let us know.
And as well, just a little heads up to everybody, please double check your email address when you purchase the tickets, because we've had a lot of people ringing up putting typos.
That's usually the best one. Yeah,
typos in their email address, which is obviously not ideal. But
talking about events, so after Yeovil, we're open early, aren't we? Open from midday. Free pint for everyone who gets there before 1 o'clock.
Get in and grab your pint.
And we're also showing, is it Newcastle City?
It is.
On a big screen beforehand. And afterwards, we have the fantastic Tom Beaumont still, who DJ'd after our game with... Oh my gosh, who was it? Harrogate. Fantastic. And he's DJing again after the game. So I'm sure the Ravens bar will be rocking after the game, no matter what the result. But also in events, we had the pleasure of hosting Stuart Pearce last week, didn't we, Matt?
Oh, what a fantastic
Was that last week?
Speaker. It was, yeah.
It was, yeah.
How quickly
and,
that's gone.
I don't know, not sure what we've let ourselves in for, but we're having an evening with Razor Ruddock.
We are.
On Friday the 20th of December. It's in our venue. It starts at 7 o'clock, and the prices are £40 a ticket or a table of eight for £300. For those of you interested, it's a fantastic night. We've done, is this our fourth now or fifth one of these?
Fourth, yeah.
We've had Paul Merson, Teddy Sheringham, Stuart Pearce. They really are a fantastic night. I mean, it's sponsors, fans, you know, staff from the club, etc. We all get down for it. It's a fantastic occasion. It's always a great laugh. And I'm sure Razor Ruddock will be a very, very interesting one Christmas
definitely.
As well. So if you're interested, head over to the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, or alternatively, get in contact with Chloe, 0208 460 5291, or via email, events@bromleyfc.co.uk. Matt, I think that's almost about it. One thing we haven't fully covered, though, yet, is still our question of the week, which is now becoming a question of the month, Matt.
I think it is becoming a question of the month, yeah. We're just waiting a few more answers, I think. So please give us your one game or very little game wonders that you've seen in your time as a supporter at Bromley Football
Our examples
Club,
are Steve Pinnell.
Steve Pinnell, yeah. Rhys Alassani was another one. Played a couple of times, then went on to do great things.
But I'm sure that will get the old cogs whirling in a few old Bromley boys out there. As ever, you can get in touch via Twitter at Bromley FC, alternatively via email podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. Don't forget to use hashtag Ravens Weekly. Come on, I just want it to be kickoff now. I just want to fast forward to Saturday, 3 o'clock, Bromley versus Yeovil. Mark Antony in the stand, Cousins in the stand. We all know what he means.
Yeah, Mark Antony.
Wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic?
Yeah, it'd be great to see him, and I know that he's going to get a wonderful reception from the fans that he really deserves.
Really looking forward to it. Can't wait to see you all there. A big thank you to tuning in as ever, and we'll be back again this time next week. But we'll see you tomorrow on Saturday against Yeovil Town, kickoff at 3 o'clock. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.